Damiana Garcia, one of my favorite drag queens on YouTube, never fails to make me laugh with her frenetic, nervous energy as she engages all sorts of celebrities on the red carpet.
Today we're talking to video artist and comedian Michael Lucid, the man behind Damiana Garcia, about his unusual interviewing style and dealing with all these crazy new celebrity drag queens that the RuPaul factory is churning out like a puppy mill on estrogen.
Join us for this and all the hot news. Booze hounds rejoice. A new study suggests moderate consumption of alcohol may increase long-term memory.
Lady Gaga talks about plastic surgery, saying her unusual cheekbones aren't prosthetics. They are her bones, and they come out when she's inspired.
Rebecca Black beats everybody on YouTube.
Ashton and Demi launch an unusual anti-sex trafficking awareness campaign.
Illinois rejects a blind anti-gay bill.
And Lindsay Lohan is mistaken for another celebrity at the airport.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Before we begin, let's listen to Damiana Garcia interviewing drag queen Evie Harris, best known for her films Girls Will Be Girls. She taped this interview shortly after their wrap-up for the filming Girls Will Be Girls 2012.
We're going to get a chance to sit down with these lovely ladies and find out what to expect from this fabulous new sequel. Come on. I'm here with Ms. Evie Harris. Hello, my dear. So,
hold on, just going over my lines.
Oh, sure.
I don't understand how people do this. I mean, usually I just make them hold a card next to the camera. But then I was told I couldn't say my lines like this. We are going... I'm not a quick reader.
Now, Evie, I gotta tell you, after watching the first film and watching the web series...
Oh, you watched them both?
Hours of entertainment.
Oh my God, I get so embarrassed. I'm so famous.
Oh, you gotta own it. You gotta own it.
Could you shut that f***ing dog up?
So, Evie, here you are reunited with your girls.
Oh, it's so good to be back together again. Sure, yes, and I think that they finally took some acting lessons because they're starting to be able to keep up.
My heart does go out to poor Coco Peru. You really put her through some things.
Oh, yeah, the cleaning lady. Coco, I don't know. Coco's okay. I could take her or leave her. She, you know, she hits her marks. I asked Richard to recast the role, but she owns the wig.
Now, Evie, the fans have been clamoring for this sequel.
Oh, have they? Oh, hello out there. Hello, I'm here. I'm still alive. I'm making another movie for you.
You ask, you shall receive.
Sure.
They're all a-Twitter. All a-Twitter on the internet about this new sequel.
Yeah, well, we raised all the money on the internet. If I knew I could raise $35,000 on Kickstarter, I would have gotten my new vagina years ago.
Who do we have here?
That thing just showed up in my house like a month ago, and I'm just fattening him up. I'm going to eat him soon.
Oh, but look at that friendly
face.
The
nice thing is he eats the garbage, and then I can eat him.
Hello?
Is this Michael Lucid?
This is he.
Hi, Michael. This is Fausto.
And Mark Fillion from Feast of Fun. How are you today?
Hey, doing great, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. We are so loving your videos. You are like a rising queen of YouTube.
Oh, thank you. I'll take it.
I love it. Tell me about how Damiana Garcia came to be, because it's like I'm enjoying so much your red carpet videos and the way you go up to drag queens and celebrities and make them nervous with your frenetic, intense interview style.
Thank you. Yeah, it's funny. It was really an evolution because in the beginning, even before Damiana had a name, she was this blonde lady reporter character I would do, and I would actually interview myself playing a myriad of other characters. And so it was always Damiana interviewing a crumping clown or a pre-adolescent girl or a English accent speaking driving instructor. And then over time, I evolved the character to actually interview other real people in my presence, and gave her a name, and before long, I was hitting that red carpet.
See, but the interesting thing about watching you interview other people is that you're always doing that one rule they tell you in journalism school not to do, which is always not be in the moment and think about the next question, the next answer you're going to do, and just completely getting in their faces and with so much excitement, so much intensity that they don't know what's going to happen. It's going to explode.
I just, you know, I unleash that lady on the carpet. I don't even know what's going to happen next. Yeah, it's crazy because when you arrive at these red carpets, they give all the journalists tip sheets with the names of all the people who are going to walk down the carpet.
Oh.
And I sort of glance at it, and then I just sort of toss it aside, and I just throw caution to the wind. And, yeah.
So the publicists are there working with you, because I was always wondering how you have, like, 400 celebrities coming down the line to you, and it takes you a millisecond to know who is it going to be.
Yeah, sometimes the publicist will kind of lean over and whisper in your ear right before the celeb walks up to you. Okay, this is so and so. This is their latest project, and so you really have to kind of think on your toes. And you know, most of the time, I know who the celebrity is, but there have been those times where I'm just like, this is someone I don't know who they are.
It's always
I'm really going to have to improvise here.
It's always very awkward. Once we met a publicist and she tried to get us to interview Barbara Streisand's sister, but we had no idea who she was. Her name was, what was it, Rosalind something? Or
Rosalind other? Streisand.
No, she didn't have Streisand as
last name. It wasn't even Streisand her last
and
name.
And we're like, I don't know who that is. She's like, it's Barbara Rosalind Streisand's something. Sister.
Yeah, but it's, they were like, she's Barbara Streisand's sister, and they don't talk to each other or something.
They do talk to each other,
but you never heard of her mm-hmm. before, you know? So, you know, and the thing about it, like a publicist, they can be so pushy, like a parent.
A stage mother.
A stage mother behind their child that you almost, it makes you nervous. It makes you frenetic. So I think you're being very clever, Michael, because Damiana Garcia is a great way to channel that insane energy. And let's face it, red carpets are nuts.
They are nuts. That's so true. And yeah, it is crazy because the publicist will often like make little hand signals to you behind the person. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, like wrap it. Well, usually it's wrap it up. That's the main hand signal, I guess.
I noticed that, Lisa. Now, you just did the New Now Next Awards for Logo, which is basically Logo's attempt to try to squeeze as many available celebrities into one room. For the two words, open bar.
Right.
And Lisa Lampanelli was on the runway, and she took one look at you, and she just, like, said some a little sideways insult and said, I'm making money, and then just ran off. What was up with that?
That was crazy. And, you know, it's funny, because she's, like, such the celebrity roaster on Comedy Central, like, a diss from her is almost like a little gem, like a little morsel. It's like, okay, the roaster just roasted me a little bit. I got read a little bit by Lisa Lampanelli. And what she said to me was, she called me Jill Zarin from Real Housewives New York.
Oh, I get it now.
And I was like, I'll take it. From her, I'll take it.
Wow.
But yeah, it's so funny. It really is a crazy energy on those carpets. And my adrenaline totally gets amped up. And the thing that probably can't be seen on camera is that they actually usually, at these red carpets, they squash us journalists shoulder to shoulder, where you basically, you're like little sardines all lined up in a row. And so I think that kind of heightens the crazy energy, because everyone's trying to, like, we're all little sardines, but we're fishing for interviews at the same time, too. So it's like this madcap scenario where everyone's just trying to snag that interview, and also, you know, we're practically shoulders touching each other.
Well, I mean, can you really get anything good? Like, if you were a serious, I don't know how these people, like, on, you know, entertainment television do it, you know, broadcast television, because honestly, it seems like they're just, like, hitting you back and forth with celebrities, and you don't even know who they are. You go, oh, Suzanne Somers. Oh, you were on Three's Company. And it's like, I've done something else besides Three's Company.
Well, they just want a sound bite. That's all they want. They don't want, there's not in depth there. They don't want really feel like they're ever going to discover anything, I think, right? On a red carpet?
Love can happen on a red carpet.
What is it like for you, is like when you're sitting next to, like, legitimate reporters, I'll say?
By the way, the legitimate press that's next to Damiana Garcia is La Cocha.
Right, exactly. It, on the carpets I walk, we're a funny bunch. And, well, I'll tell you this, one of the more legitimate press that I've encountered is Mark Malkin from E! News. and he's a very sweet guy. You know what's fun is that I think when I show up and I've got my crazy little pearl necklace on and my crazy little blouse and my bob, people want to be playful with me too, and I think it kind of can sometimes cut through any of the sort of hard-nosed professionalism or any of the kind of, you know, tension that could occur in these situations, and it kind of makes people drop their guard a little bit. And so I find even with the, like, you know, I'll get smiles from some of the more legit news agencies because, you know, they just see this crazy drag lady reporter with this bob that's flying around.
Well, do the publicists, like, invite you back? Or is it because you're getting a lot of these gigs through World of Wonder, which has become sort of a drag queen factory producing RuPaul's Drag Race.
Totally, totally. Yeah, I mean, I got to say, yeah, I am so thankful to World of Wonder for taking me under their wing. And that's really opened a lot of doors for me and for Miss Damiana to get these interviews. And I actually, you know, it's so funny, the way I kind of get interviews, it can happen in so many different ways. Sometimes the publicist will lean over and hand me their card. And sometimes it's me emailing people on Facebook and saying, hey, you know, here's a link to some of my videos. I'd love to meet up for an interview. So it's kind of this free for all in a way where it can happen so many different ways.
Do you actually get to hang out with a lot of these people afterwards in the open bar?
You know, it's happened. It has happened where after the cameras stop rolling, then it's time to drink. And that's always nice, too, because then, you know, I can just sort of have a real conversation with them. And I just covered this rock show, this queer punk band, Hunks and His Punks. They're touring the country right now.
And, Hunks and Punks.
Yeah, have you heard? They're fabulous. It's a guy who goes by Hunks, and then his punks, or rather his punkettes. It's all a girl backing band, and they're all like queer punk rock. They're awesome. And I swept in on their dressing room here in LA at this venue, the Echoplex, before the show. We had this crazy, you know, very Damiana, just crazy madcap interview. And then after the show, we got to drink and let our hair down and have a real conversation. So it's always nice when that can happen.
Well, I like it when you and Vaginal Davis, one of my favorite drag queens of all time, who now lives in Berlin, Germany, who was at the height of the performance art movement, one of the most notorious figures. And she had been brought to UC Davis, University of California at Davis, to speak, and you got to interview her, and she tried to, like, undress you and have sex with you right there on the camera.
While you were in bed with her.
Oh, that's my right. God. That was crazy. That was fun. It was so... It definitely took Damiana to a place she wasn't expecting, that's for sure. It's funny, I've known Vag for years now from when she lived in L.A., and I used to be a pasta salesman at the local Hollywood farmer's market.
And she would really?
It was crazy. Yeah, I was selling raviolis, like gourmet raviolis on the streets of Hollywood. And Badge would ride her bike to the farmer's market and stop by my booth, and we would just chat, just kiki and, you know, gossip and shoot the breeze. And then, you know, we kind of kept in touch over the years, and so it was so fabulous when she came back to perform. I contacted her. She wanted to do the interview, but little did I know she'd be inviting me in bed with her.
So oh, no, she you are totally her type. She likes some short, hairy, bearish, twinkish guys with very smelly feet.
Well, I did a little foot check. You know, I might be due for a foot spray. Maybe that was part of the appeal.
No, but did she try to, like, lick your toes or, like, put, you know, ice cream in
chairs? She likes shrimping, isn't
it? She likes into shrimping. She likes to suck guys' toes.
Ooh.
On stage.
You know what's funny?
Off stage, too.
That is the way. Well, you know, actually, my boyfriend was doing camera, so maybe she was even on somewhat of her best behavior because there was my boyfriend standing 2 feet away from us holding the camera, but that didn't stop her, actually, from getting in my blouse and copping a feel. I got a little a boob squeeze or two from her during that shoot.
Well, and you're, like, interviewing all the drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race, and they're all like, let's go hang out, let's go to the hotel room. Everybody wants to undress you and have sex with you. What is going on here?
You You know, it's funny you say that because I've noticed in my interviews that the innuendo often skews to the sexual, and often it's the interviewee who kind of goes there, and it's one of those things where I don't know if it's some element of Damiana that I just don't see, but it's funny how a lot of the people I talk to, a lot of the interviewees, they respond sexually.
You know what it is that you and I both have these big, crazy avatar eyes, and so people... It's kind of like kicking bunnies or dogs. It's like it gives people pleasure to abuse us.
Well, I don't think it's about abuse. I think it's like when people hit on you, though, is they probably think, well, this is very a safe way to me to express my sexuality because chances are you're not going to follow up on it.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, like you're the kind of person like me who in public, like, gets pushed around because they think they can get away with any murder with you, you know? Because they see you're sweet, you have a very sweet, angelic, innocent face.
You know, it's so funny that it's so nail on the head because that is so true. I find that so often that, you know, and, well, you know, it's interesting because as a boy, I have the same, you know, I always want to get along with people. Damiana, who's just as sweet, she gets that same energy from people, but very sexual. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that, like, with Damiana, I get that sort of, what's the word, you know, Damiana gets pulled this way and that by people, but with this added sexual flirtation element. And yeah, that's interesting that maybe it's because people know, okay, it's not going to go beyond this red carpet interview, so they can lay on the innuendo, and it'll start and end there. So that maybe that's, you know, maybe that's fun for people. And I guess it gives me good footage, too, so that I'm thankful because then we have this crazy, funny moment that we've shared on the carpet.
Damiana, what was James Vanderbeek doing at the New Now Next Awards? Is he trying to reinvent himself as a gay icon?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I heard that he is about to, he's about to launch a new TV pilot where he plays himself. So it's very self-referential. Mm-hmm. So I think this may be the beginning of his media blitz where we're going to see him popping up in all sorts of places. Because I think it all started with his Funny or Die video that he did recently. And he's doing these GIFs, animated GIFs, the James Vander memes.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to work the internet.
New Now Next Awards was the next pit stop on his media blitz.
Now, did he actually come out in a Lady Gaga egg?
Oh, you know what? He did. That's right. In the opening sequence of the award show, he popped out of that egg, and that's right. That's so funny. he had a little Gaga moment there.
It seems like every celebrity and every, like, sort of media event is trying to, like, latch on to that Lady Gaga egg thing. their mascot? The Phillies baseball team? It's a green thing. This viral video is going on the internet. I guess he came out of an egg and mm-hmm. did, like, Bad Romance dressed as Lady Gaga.
Born This Way, you mean?
Born This Way, I'm mm-hmm. sorry. And everybody was like, all these, like, jocks are like, baby, I was born this way, transgender, gay, or bi. And it's like, so you're having all these, like, straight guys, like, being like, I'm trans and gay and bi and all this stuff. And I think it's fantastic.
Is it the new YMCA song for the sports people?
I think so. You know, I really want to see Born This Way take over YMCA. No, no offense to Randy, of course. The Village People.
Right, it could be our, well, you know, it's so funny because Lady Gaga got a little bit of heat when she stepped out and said, you know, publicly, this is going to be the new gay anthem. Mm. And people were kind of like raising a brow. I think a lot of gays were like, you know, let us designate which songs are going to be the new gay anthem. But I got to tell you, I had a really interesting experience. I was in Richmond, Virginia, of all places, recently, and Born This Way came on the radio. And it was so subversive to hear someone on, like, Top 40 Hits Radio singing about gay, transgender, lesbian, bi, like, saying that on you know, national radio was so powerful that it actually, you know, it won me over, and it really did, you know, it gave me a whole newfound high regard for the song. I was already a fan of Gaga and the song, but, you know, I think I was one of those gays who kind of said, well, okay, maybe let us choose our gay anthems. But after having that experience, hearing it on the radio, I realized, wow, this really is subversive. And, you know, she's really harnessing the pop culture.
Well, you know, Katy Perry did the same thing when she came out with that Peacock song. She's like, I want this to be the new gay anthem. And we're like, can we at least hear it first before we decide on whether it's going to be the gay anthem or not?
If I had my choice of a Katy Perry song to be a gay anthem, it would be the E.T. song.
Which one's the E.T. song? The what?
Show me your heart light. Let it shine. Let it glow. Turn on your heart light. Oh, wait a minute. That's not the. That's a different E.T. song.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Because I've seen the video with Kanye, and I couldn't even hum it to you right now because it's so new. But Katy Perry's another one. I really enjoy Katy Perry, but I'm just gonna put this out there with the "You're So Gay" song. That rubbed me a little bit the wrong way, because it's like, I mean, I understand she's such a friend to the gays, and, like, it's fabulous. I mean, she really is. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, even that usage of that lyric, it just, I don't know, it rubbed me a little bit the wrong way. Call me overly sensitive, but, you know, I don't know. And, you know, maybe I could sit down and really study the lyrics and realize that actually she
don't bother
subverting that. But.
Well, look, Katy Perry has a tradition of being a Christian fundamentalist singer. As Katie Hudson, as Katy Perry, she's now trying to reinvent herself, to Madonna, as a gay anthem, a popular thing. You know, she was trying to go in that direction before Lady Gaga came on the scene, but Lady Gaga cracked her knuckles and said, now, Miss Hudson, or Perry, or whatever your name is, this is how you do it.
Right, so now Miss Katie's taking some notes from... Mm-hmm. Miss Gaga, from the lady.
Now she's like, I have to dress weird.
You know who's beating everybody? Rebecca Black. Friday. Now, Damiana, you have some rich friends. Could you get like $2,000 and go to that company and say, here, pop down $2,000 and say, make me my own goddamn song and video.
I would like to do. It seems like a complete package. You get the song, you get the video. I think Damiana would enjoy plunking down some cash. And,
can we like fly down there and be in drag as Daphne and Saltina and be in your video, like part of your posse?
I want to be like...
That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. If you two ladies would join Damiana in her video, I formally extend the invitation.
I want to be the waitress that serves you coffee in the diner as you contemplate the reality of your life.
I love it. We'll share a little existential moment.
Mm-hmm. I'll be like...
Sort of lock eyes and...
Say, it's okay, baby. Well, you know, Rebecca Black, she's just taken the YouTube by storm. If you count up all her videos, like, including Friday... And, like, the parodies of it has generated more than 200 million views, which is a heck of a lot more than Lady Gaga's and Justin Bieber's videos and their parodies.
Wow. So more people parody Rebecca Black than they parody Lady Gaga or Justin Bieber.
It's true. So Lady Gaga's Born This Way has got, like, 180 million online views since making its debut in February. And Bieber's Prey has got $65 million views.
Well, it seems that parodying pop stars' videos are just as lucrative for the sales of the music and for their careers as it is the song themselves. Mm-hmm. Damiana, any song parodies in the works?
Oh, good. You know, you're planting seeds of ideas here that I might need to follow up on. Well, you know what's funny? Someone once wrote in a YouTube comment, they referred to Damiana as Lady Daga. Because Damiana Garcia, Daga, and that, you know.
But are you Latina? Like you, just the Garcias because you like the name, or you're Latin through injection, not through familiarization.
Through injection, if you will. My boyfriend is Latino, and so I've had some Latino in me, if you will.
That makes you, if you're having sex with a Latin American man, that makes you Latino, in my opinion.
There you go, by default. Indeed. Yeah. And you know, the funny, you know, I think the character sort of developed, she's just such a Southern California lady. And, you know, I grew up in Southern California here in L.A., but I just think, just culturally and experientially, I think Damiana is just this Southern California Latina lady who, and, you know, I mean, I think it also comes from, you know, it's sort of a comedy bit that I think I once saw on Saturday Night Live, where when you have female news reporters who are very, you know, sort of Anglo-sounding in all ways, but they have a very, like, a Latin surname.
Like, I am Maria Hinojosa, and this is Latino USA!
Exactly.
And then they go back to, like, on today's show, we're going to be talking about the Metijos Oaxacos in Mexico, and then they go back to, and speaking of in English, you know, they like go from their really hard, intense Spanish to back to this sort of broadcast journalism English.
Exactly. That is exactly what I'm sort of referencing with Damiana's name and that whole experience. And, you know, hello, I'm here in Los Angeles. And, it's this phenomenon that, you know, that kind of tickled my funny bone. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of times people have asked me, well, you know, if she's Latina, why don't you really lay on like a Latin accent, and for all of her speaking, but I felt like that would be too, you know, in poor taste for me, or too stereotypy. Like, I kind of like this. She's just this, you know, SoCal lady.
Well, because your energy reminds me so much of our friend Larry LaFontaine, who's one of probably the best known queer Latino scholars in this country, and he has that same, especially when he's in drag. It's like Damiana's twin sister or something.
Yeah,
happening.
You guys, you go, sisters, I swear to
Lola
God.
Lola von Miramar. And it's like, and she sort of passes for gringa, you know, which is that, you know, so I see very much like as a Latin American who passes for Anglo, you know, it definitely, for me, it really rubs me the right way.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, I'm really happy to hear that. Yeah, because
it feels authentic.
Oh, good. Yeah, because that would be, like, the worst thing if someone, like, I haven't heard it yet, but if someone were to tell me, you know, this character is really offensive to me, or it's playing off of negative stereotyping, like, that would, I would be really concerned. So I'm very glad to hear because it's really, you know, she's just this lady of Latin American descent, and she reports the news, and then beyond that, she's just herself, her own character.
Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fantastic people like you and by our friends at Pride Fest Milwaukee.
Join us this June 10th through the 12th at the nation's largest showcase of LGBT music and talent at Pride Fest in Milwaukee on the Summerfest grounds. There's going to be over 150 acts, including Leanne Rimes and out performer Chelly Wright. She just came out a couple years ago, and she's hot on the country scene.
And maybe we'll be there too.
We're gonna be there. Visit pridefest.com to get a discount on your hotel and tickets. Don't forget, it's June 10th through the 12th in the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Visit pridefest.com. We'll see you there.
You rub shoulders with a lot of crazy sort of that I love that there's Los Angeles, there's Hollywood, and then there's West Hollywood and all the crazy people that hang around there. And one of my favorite crazy people is La Cocha, who we don't know anything about her. It's like she's managed to, I mean, this day and age of the internet, to erase your identity completely.
Well, not completely. We know her real name.
We do. Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know her real name, but Mark does.
Yeah.
But So,
Oh, yeah, La Cocha. I love La Cocha. She is fabulous.
Well, how crazy is she in person? Because I've had other people say to me that's like, she is an unholy terror.
You know, it's funny. Well, I've met her now twice, always on a red carpet. So you know, I have there's a bunch of people here in L.A. who we only see each other on red carpets, which is like this whole other funny experience. And she has been so sweet with me. Like, we always have great interactions. And more than half the time, we're both in character because we have cameras rolling. So we're actually having, you know, the very first time we met, the cameras were rolling, so we were having our first introductory conversation, she as La Cocha and me as Damiana. And then again, most recently at the New Now Next Awards red carpet, we were connecting and talking. And then after the award show ended, I saw her on the sidewalk, out on the Walk of Fame, because the award show happened right off of Hollywood Boulevard, and I chased her down. It's funny, at the end of my red carpet video, you see me, the camera in tow, chasing her down the Walk of Fame, and we're both still in character, having this crazy, zany conversation on the sidewalk, and she pulls out this penis ring lollipop thing and shoves it in front of me and asks me to take a lick, And I, you know, normally, you know, a lollipop that who knows where it's been put in front of my face, I wouldn't go near it. But, you know, cameras are rolling. We're both in character. So I just took a big, resolute lick of that.
You strike me as somebody who wouldn't have any problem sucking on a stranger's lollipop.
Wow. I'm blessed.
Okay, so here's an interesting study, and this is a good one for you. All you booze hounds out there who enjoy those open bars, kicking it back with Damiana Garcia. So they've done a study from the University of Texas at Austin, my alma mater, the Wagoner Center for Alcohol and Addiction Research. So this understanding how and why people get addicted to alcohol and how it affects the brain. And one interesting thing that they found in the study that actually moderate amounts of drinking of alcohol relate to the long-term memory centers and the pleasure centers of the brain and actually help to form bonds and memory. And that's why we drink together to come together, because it helps us to forget the next day, but it helps us to remember those friendships and those positive memories long into our lives. And that's that actually drinking alcohol increases our capacity to learn conditionability at that level. And that's what makes people get addicted to drugs and sex and alcohol, is that release of pleasure or hormones.
So you like to drink, therefore you drink. That makes sense to me.
But it actually forms, like, your brain actually gets rewarded by drinking alcohol, and it actually can remember that experience and that positive experience a year, 10 years from now. And because it's so good, the dopamine is so good at building those synapses for pleasure.
Now, is it one of those things where it's like, I remember those good times when I'm drunk again? Do I have to be drunk to remember it?
No.
Because I swear to God, there's some things that you learn when you're either drunk or high that you only remember when you're drunk or high.
But yeah, it's like sense memory. It's like once you're drunk again, it brings back that corresponding sensation.
But that's why, like, a lot of bars are struggling, is that because people are drinking more at home. And their pleasure centers, you know, a lot of nightclubs have reacted with less and less people turning out by turning up the volume and making it harder for people to socialize with each other. This is a phenomena. And so if you read a lot of forums on the internet, you'll see that people are always complaining. It's like, I go out and I never get laid. I never pick up anybody. And there's actual studies that are done that are less people are going out to clubs now than they were 20 years ago. And they're all blaming it on the internet. I say that maybe what it is that pleasure is a relative term, and what some person might find pleasurable, another person may not. But the standardization of the nightclub experience is really lowering people's desire to participate in it, because it's all the same thing. And we're not having as much diversity and genres of music. For example, used to have a country western bar, used to have a disco bar. Now most nightclubs are pretty much the same type of music, and that's actually lowering people's desire to return to it, because it's not stimulating their pleasure centers as much as it used to.
Well,
that's interesting. Well, I mean, I definitely have found that, you know, clubs and you know, sort of lost their appeal at some point for a lot of those reasons, you know. The music wasn't quite what I was into. I mean, I find if I'm going to go out, you know, drinking, like a fun little bar, like a neighborhood bar, is far more sort of my style than like a big crazy mega club. But, you know, the thing about those big crazy venues is that there's kind of, at least for me, kind of a novelty appeal still. Like once in a blue moon, it's fun to pop into one of those crazy places, you know, with three floors and five dance areas. Just for the novelty of it. But like in terms of like an actual good old time, for me, like a nice old divey bar with a good jukebox is like so way more my speed. And you can actually, you know, have conversations with people and hear each other over the music.
Like Akbar's in West Hollywood.
Exactly. I think you went to LA. Silverlight. Exactly. Akbar is our local watering hole, if you will, but like a lot of people love that place for that reason.
What I love about that venue is that, you know, you can pop in there and they're always doing something interesting. We've actually taped a podcast from Akbar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Yeah, because they have a second room that's like used for screenings, performances.
And there was like one guy in the audience who is known in the leather fetish community as an electrocutionist expert.
Oh my God.
And so like I kind of introduced him to the audience and I saw their look on their eyes. They were like, oh my God, get him to electrocute you, you know? And he had a taser on there. And so I'm like sitting there in an audience and Mark, you know, Mark hates to see me get hurt on anything.
Not really.
Oh my God.
I just don't like electricity.
Well, I was okay.
And so I sat there and this guy, his name is Buzz.
Yeah.
And
that's his nickname. Yeah.
His nickname. He stands up and he electrocutes me. And the whole audience was like squealing with delight. And I'm like, you sick fuckers.
Right? They were getting off on it.
That scares me. I'm always afraid I'm going to get hit by lightning. If I die, I know that's what's going to happen. I'll get hit by lightning. It's my phobia.
Yeah, I mean, we all have that one way we don't want to go. Or a couple ways we don't want to go. But yeah, lightning. Electrocution.
Well, I mean, like, what do you think? How do you think you're going to die?
Oh, man. Well, I hope I'm sleeping soundly on my satin pillow and I say my farewells surrounded by all my loved ones and then close my eyes and go off to the netherworld. That would be ideal.
But that's not it's not what would you'd like to happen. Is what's the most likely way you're going to die?
Wow. Okay, most likely. I think Damiana is going to be delivering an exclusive report. And she gets so excited that her head just spontaneously combusts from excitement. I think that's most likely.
Let's talk about plastic surgery and Lady Gaga. She's going around saying that those like triangular pyramids that are poking out of her face and shoulders in these videos, they're not prosthetics. They're her bones. Mm-hmm. And they only come out when she's creatively inspired.
Well, you know, I got to say, I'm a fan of this new look she's rocking with those crazy prosthetic bones sticking out. I'm a fan because it's very kind of performance arty, and I'm totally blanking right now, but there's this famous French performance artist
who's
known for doing that, but she actually really does it, where she surgically has like crazy bony, bumpy shapes inserted into her flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her name's Orlan.
Yeah,
she's fantastic and freakishly looking.
She's a performance artist from the 1990s, and she was a big hit in MTV Europe, and she did all these crazy videos where she would invite performance artists, prop makers, puppeteers, and surgeons to liposuction her, and she would get just enough general anesthesia so she could read French theory, all during a techno beat, and this was aired on MTV in the 90s in Europe. Now, since then, she's had a lot of plastic surgery to remake her face into the images of classical female beauty, and then later on, she's gotten Moses's horns inserted to her forehead.
Oh, my.
Lady Gaga says that she would never actually get any plastic surgery herself.
She goes on to say, I haven't hurt myself. And it's an artistic expression. It's a performance art piece. I have never, ever encouraged my fans or anyone to harm themselves, nor do I romanticize masochism. And then she goes on to say, there's lots of pop stars who have had plastic surgery, though. Madonna.
Katy Perry.
Oh, really? Oh, what did Katy Perry have done?
I don't know.
I just want to see her like
this. She had a boob job.
She had a boob job, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. For those twins, those are some impressive hair right there.
Honey, she may not have been born the way. She had let her surgeon have her fireworks.
And they shoot whipped cream.
Yeah. When you're not looking, it'll shoot a lot of cream.
You know what else I'm fascinated about right now, too, is that Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore have started a campaign against sex trafficking.
Oh, I heard about this.
So they have their own foundation, Demi and Ashton's Foundation. And so now they're going to have an internet campaign against child sex slavery. Do you know that between 100,000 and 300,000 children are being bought and sold as sex slaves in the United States alone?
Oh my God.
That is insane. That's so scary.
It's like, it gives a whole new meaning to like, Kids R Us or
what?
Because there's like Toys R Us that sells toys, and there's a chain of kids clothing line called Kids R Us. But I wonder if like some of these kid traffickers,
child sex slaves are for us.
It's like a big business.
And so they have new videos online saying real men don't buy girls. Real men don't buy children. So
yeah, it's funny because I was reading about that and it sounded so bizarre. And I guess this campaign's kind of getting flack from people who are saying, well, the messaging kind of gets lost in these celebrity commercial spots where it's like, you know, you're seeing Justin Timberlake or whoever or Jamie Foxx and they're doing something completely unrelated to this cause.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I think, you know, Linda Carter speaking in awareness of anal leakage. What is it? Intestinal bowel syndrome?
Yes.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that yet.
You know, really, there cannot be enough awareness for intestinal irritable bowel syndrome and anal leakage, especially when it comes from Linda Carter.
I would love
She's a Wonder Woman for health awareness.
Yes. Especially for IBS. Wonder Woman and IBS, I think the two are synonymous, really.
So, well, Bradley Cooper did one of these child sex slave commercials where he's eating cereal, and they're like, real men know how to eat cereal. Real men don't buy girls. And you're like how do these two correlate? It doesn't make sense.
Look, celebrities do one good thing well, is that they get people's attention. Mm-hmm. And, right?
Yeah, it's like very viral. So it's like, okay, it's so bizarre that it's getting us all talking about it. So maybe that's, you know, that's effective.
Mission accomplished. Just like J. Crew's whole viral ad campaign with a mom painting her son's toenails pink. It really wasn't about selling clothes. It's getting us, the internets, all the savvy queens, to talk about J. Crew. Because let's face it, nobody shops at J. Crew anymore. And so, you know.
Yeah, it's like making it relevant, you know. It's like, okay, now they're in the pop cultural conversation. And
it works. And to me, it's like, you know, whether it's Lady Gaga or J. Crew or Ricky Martin or whoever it is, if painting your toenails pink and screaming from the rooftop saying, I love the anal lovin', gets you to sell products, more power to you.
Or if you're Snooki, have you seen Anderson Cooper has this new list called the Ridiculist? And he had
segment
on his show. And he'd spent 4 minutes tearing Snooki apart. And I was just
he's one to talk.
One catty comment after another. I'm like, who does he think he is? He's Michael from D-Listed or Perez Hilton, like just tearing her apart. It's insane. And then he's complaining about her because she likes juiced up gorillas. Now, have you ever seen his boyfriend? Or his supposed boyfriend.
He's a juiced up gorilla.
He's a juiced up gorilla.
And who doesn't like juiced up gorillas?
But at least it was not, you got to hear, what did he say? He got to quote Snooki where she talked about people on steroids, how they had small nuts and back knee. So it was fun to hear Anderson Cooper talk about nuts.
Oh my God. To hear Anderson talk about small nuts and back knee. And Snooki, all in the same sentence. That would be amazing. Yeah, that's funny that Anderson sort of reading Snooki there a little bit.
Well, I think part of it's, yeah.
And I have seen photos of his boyfriend online, and he's a real hunky New York dude. And I guess he's a club owner, like a bar owner of some big gay bar in New York.
Yeah, I think it's called the Eastern Block. Well, I think also, too, with Anderson Cooper, it's a class issue, because Snooki is like...
she's low class.
Low class little trip, and he's
a Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. I've seen photos of his mom. It's so regal and aristocratic, and that. Well, you know, Anderson's so interesting the way he's kind of straddling that closet door, and he's got like a pinky toe stuck out the door.
He's straddling it, yes.
If you will, so to speak. And it's like, you know, is he ever going to step out? You know, because
well, he's very comfortable. You know, and Anderson Cooper shines best when he's like taking the bullies, the greedy, the corporate folks, the real tyrants of the world. I don't feel like Snooki is a tyrant. You know, to me, she represents what we're all fighting for, which is to be big, sloppy, drunk messes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Right.
You know, civil rights and progress is a privilege. And if your family, your Italian-American family, worked hard and worked, you know, she was like an adopted kid. She's like from Chile. Yeah, I mean, she's not had an easy upbringing. And if this is to her, like, where she can be getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to speak at Rutgers University, getting paid a very nice amount of money, I'm not sure, but for, like, being involved in wrestling, more power to her, you know? I wish we all could make that kind of money. But we, you know, we're not all Snooki.
Well, the other thing, too, is she's getting $100,000 an episode. And he was like, I can't believe she's getting paid this. Well, what did the cast of Friends get? They got each $1 million an episode.
Well, and what does Anderson Cooper get paid?
Yeah,
what
does he get paid an episode?
Right.
And you know, he's a journalist, but he's also being hired because he's a very appealing, attractive man as well. And he's a very intelligent man. And maybe he feels that Snooki is antithetical to his values of someone who is being celebrated for their stupidity. But I think Snooki's actually really street smart.
You know what I think it is, though, too, is Anderson wants to be Snooki, and he's just jealous.
He wants to be her. She's having fun. She's the part, you know, he wants to be the party girl having fun, you know, and getting paid for it. Well, he's got to go out there in the trenches and, you know, risk his life.
And get his face punched in the face, you know, which is not easy.
Right in the streets of Cairo. Yeah, I mean, I think also it's this sort of, the class issue, it's also the high culture, you know, low culture sort of tension where, you know, people from quote-unquote legitimate, you know, news sources are frowning upon what they see as, you know, the prevalence in pop culture of, like, the dumbing down of popular entertainment. So they're, you know, there's kind of this worry or this anxiety that popular entertainment's going down the tubes because everyone, we just want to watch people getting drunk, getting laid in the hot tub in Jersey.
But you know what? It's like we suffer so much. You know, we don't have any health care in this country. A lot of people are unemployed. There's so much depressing news. Why wouldn't you, at the end of the day, want to go home and see somebody jump into a hot tub and fuck? You know?
Right?
Why not?
Sure. I mean, it's escapism. It's entertainment. You know, we need that. You know, we can't be barraged. I mean, the headlines are, you know, we're just terrorized with all these horrific things happening in the world right now that, yeah, why not? You know?
I don't know. To me, it's like, you know, when I see a rich person of privilege frowning down upon, like, you know, somebody who is just, like, lucky to be doing what they're doing, it just smacks to me, rubs me really the wrong
way. It's classism.
Yeah, it's you know, he's a snob.
Right. Kind of a culture snob kind of situation.
And to me, it's really like Andy Cohen influencing him in a bad way.
No, I think it was Michael from D-Listed. That was
for
a D-Listed, total D-Listed rant.
So that so he's ghostwriting for CNN now.
Well, it's conjecture.
That's a good gig. It's funny because I'm such a devotee of Michael Kay and D-Listed. Like, you know, with my morning coffee, I gotta, you know, check in with Michael Kay and see who he's tearing apart. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing about Michael Kay is that there's this lovable quality to him. So even when he is just like tearing somebody a new one, there is something kind of sweet and fun and upbeat about it that you almost feel like if he met them in person, he'd be like, hey, you know, hey boo, you know, no love lost here.
Well, we almost had him on the show. We got this close and I made the mistake of asking him for his last name. And then we never heard back from him. So I think, like, Michael wants to remain anonymous. He wants to be mysterious because, actually, Michael might not be the only person writing that blog, too, you know?
Interesting. I mean, you know, I definitely wondered, you know, it's one of those things where I've spent some time sort of daydreaming. What is his life about? What is Michael?
He might not be a single individual. It might be, like, a group of people, too. We don't know anything about these individuals.
Because he puts out a lot of content. I mean, there's a ton of it. So I'm going to guess that he's the editor at this point in time. People write a lot of stuff, and he spruces it up.
That's interesting because I've actually wondered that too. Like, he must just not step away from his computer because his posts are so constant. So that would make sense. That would make sense that, you know, divvying up the posting.
We got a question. Well, you are really the person in front of the camera. You're doing all the editing. I mean, you put out content in a frenetic pace.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, I, you know, I am one who I spend much time with my computer editing. That is like a big bulk of my life. And, you know, I think for me too, it's like I get paid by the hour. So the more videos I make, the more I get paid. So it's kind of like, okay, I got to keep those paychecks coming in. I got to keep this, Keep the news coming.
Well, World of Wonder, thank you so much for hiring, putting their job creation program for drag queens.
Exactly. It's really a public service.
You know what I just discovered, too, on YouTube was that World of Wonder, they did that fantastic documentary, The Eyes of Tammy Faye. It's now, you can watch it on YouTube. I was going to blog it on the site, but you can't embed it by request. So I was like, well, screw it. But it's there.
Oh,
you can just find it.
Yeah, because Eyes of Tammy Faye is amazing. Mm-hmm. The crazy thing is that I knew, you know, all about World of Wonder for years before I worked there. And it was this kind of crazy, I mean, that was an evolution in itself of, you know, my coming to work for World of Wonder, where, you know, I would meet the guys socially at film festivals. And then it was actually at Sundance, I think in 2004. And I was there, I was actually showing some of my comedy shorts at Slamdance. And I got myself into the Queer Brunch, which for anyone networking and going to Sundance, the Queer Brunch is like a fabulous place, because all the gays, all the power gays are all there brunching, and everyone's very accessible. You can kind of just walk up to people. And I walked up to Randy and Fenton of World of Wonder with my VHS tape at the time of my comedy shorts, my drag comedy shorts, handed it to them, and that was really the beginning of this process where then, you know, maybe a year or two later, they wanted to create some more web content.
So there's Damiana Garcia's secret, is go to Sundance, to the Queer Brunch, and hit up all the gay tycoons and bring your VHS tape to them.
That's Damiana's tip of the day. Bring your VHS to the Power Brunch, and you're in.
That would be kind of funny to bring an 8-track cassette tape for your music and a VHS too.
Now, these drag shorts, are they interview style like you do now, or are they plots?
They were part of this whole sort of life. This also shows what a workaholic I am, and that's the other side of, you know, me always frenetically creating videos, is that I basically am a total crazy workhorse. And for years, my sort of life project, and it was really just a labor of love because it wasn't for money, that's for sure, was this online sketch comedy show, and actually a cable access TV sketch comedy show in its earliest incarnation, called Pretty Things. And we were a sketch comedy duo, and my lady partner in crime, Amanda Barrett, who's in a band called the Tootie Bops, she was my comedy partner. And we, for years, we made these comedy sketches that were actually, they weren't reporting. They were, some of them were sort of these long episode-spanning sagas. We had a saga called Mulberry Commons, which was like a soap opera about the co-eds at a boarding school in New England and all sorts of shenanigans they get into. And then we had another series of sketches called Popcorn, which was the day-to-day goings-on at an art house movie theater in West L.A. and like all the snobby movie patrons, and then the sort of disgruntled minimum wage earning movie theater staff, and then also parodies of like highfalutin art house films that would play at the theater. So that was another. So we had all these different saga sketches, and then also just one-off, you know, self-contained music video sketches.
A fun time is had by all.
By all, absolutely. And so that was really the beginning of my creative video making life, was Pretty Things. And you can,
Michael, we gotta move along here because we're running out of time. Travis Hanstead on Facebook says, I am so excited to finally listen to the show. Michael Lucid, you are hilarious. I love the Damiana files and everything on the Pretty Things YouTube channel. And that's Pretty Things with three S's on things. Are there any plans for a Damiana files with Chloe Sevigny or Sevigny? When will Damiana get a show on the Oprah Winfrey Network? So two questions, Chloe and Oprah.
Oh, I love it. Well, Chloe, I've actually made a number of videos with Drew Drogi, the brilliant, hilarious Drew, who does the Chloe videos. He's appeared with me as Tanya Roberts, ex-Charlie's Angel Tanya Roberts, and I've had a ball working with him. He just cracked me up so much, and I would love to make some Chloe vids with him, so I'm gonna put that out there. I'm going to check in with him, because I would love for Damiana to interview Chloe next.
Can you ask her about the brown bunny?
Oh, right. Everyone wants to know, was it real? Was that BJ real?
I just want to know, did she enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, because most likely it was real.
I think it was real. I think it definitely...
I think it's pretty well documented real, isn't it?
It's real.
And they were together at the time, so it wouldn't even be such a stretch.
Why wouldn't she? Why wouldn't you give your boyfriend a blowjob for a movie?
Sure, you know, just the camera happens to be rolling, which it does on any given Saturday night anyway.
Did it drive you crazy when Oprah was doing that sort of like, hey, your own talk show, and every single person that you knew was like, I'm going to be on Oprah, I'm going to be on Oprah, and it's just
vote
like...
Vote for me.
And it's like a lot of those contests to me, they just smack of like false PR lame attempts. And of course, the nice side effect of that was that Zach Anner, Austin handy capable comedian who lives with cerebral palsy, as he says, the sexiest of all the palsies, was pushed into the show by the internet and then forced by the internet to the show's producers to win it, even though they had already planned it to give it to somebody else.
Really? That's interesting because I was sort of following that, and I've been a big fan of his because I think he's genuinely just hilarious.
And I think he's sexy too.
Yeah, oh yeah, he is.
You know? He's like bi-curious. Like, he dresses up in drag, he flirts with guys.
Okay, yeah, hey, more power to him.
But you have to do all the work.
Gay bar, let him loose.
You know, I'm sure those lips can do some serious damage.
I believe it. I wouldn't doubt it for a second. Yeah, I mean, I was so aware of that Oprah show, the Your Own Show, and I had a little daydream fantasy about submitting, and I think what stopped me was just, you know, for that platform, it seemed like, okay, they're going to really want something very... Although I think there was a gay dude contestant who maybe also does drag in his work, who I think, you know, was one of the finalists who was on the show. So I guess, you know, they did have a gay on there, but...
But, you know, like, they did that same thing with the first season of first and second season of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I'm so glad that they just stopped doing that. It was like, all these drag queens from even Hedda Lettuce, who really should know better, you know, was just like, vote for me, I want to be on RuPaul's Drag Race. And I was like, well, why don't you just send an audition video to the producers? It's like, to me, I felt like it was very disingenuous of the producers to create this whole web phenomenon based on, you know...
But it worked. It got people doing videos and people watched them.
It worked and it didn't work because really, like, it became... Everybody started realizing that... they only pick one of those people, and sometimes they don't even pick that one. You know, like, well, the first season, I don't think... Nina Flores won.
Yeah, Flowers, yeah.
But the second season, I don't think they used any of them.
I don't know.
Well, you know, okay, full disclosure, I have applied to be on a reality show once, and I got all embroiled in the online brouhaha, if you will, and after I did not even get called in for an actual in-person audition, that was sort of the last time I decided to do that, and it was actually for the Steven Spielberg show On the Lot, if you recall from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He did sort of like an American Idol, but for film directors.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I went through the whole process. I made the online video. I did the Vote for Me campaign. I did it all. You know, I sent out the email power blast to everyone I knew, got votes. And then what I took away from that was that very likely, like you said, the online component is really just there to promote the show. It's not really taken seriously by the casting directors as a way to find talent, with probably a couple exceptions. I'm sure there's, you know, exceptions to any rule. But I came away feeling like, okay, basically I just helped promote their website and get them more hits for their sponsor.
And you know, job well done.
Okay, there you go. I did my part.
You're a giving person.
Well, people kept
giving back. I'm happy to do it however I can. But yeah, so I think that experience kind of made me feel like, okay, if I want to be doing something in the world of entertainment, I'd like to go through avenues where I feel like it's more concrete, where I'm really, you know, being considered as an actual applicant. You know, so you know. I still watch Idol, I still watch the shows, so it's not like I'm totally, you know, embittered in that way, but I just feel like, okay, I want to put my energies into avenues where I feel like I'm really going to be considered, so that's, you know.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Michael. We love your videos, we love that you post them on the website, and certainly, like, it's one of the most popular stuff that gets posted on Feast of Fun's Fresh section. And thanks, you know.
I want to hang out with you in LA next time we're out there, or if you come to Chicago.
Yeah, next time, because you actually were in Chicago and you called me like 4 minutes before you got here.
I know. That was madness. Next time I give you a little more lead time than 4 minutes.
Because what happened? You flew in here, went to a party, and then flew right back out? Is that what happened?
That was crazy. Yeah, I was, when I'm not Damiana, I'm James St. James's cameraman, editor, video producer, and we flew in for a one night only to do a party and to cover a Party Monster party in Chicago, and flew out early the next morning, and I got into my head right when we got into town, hey, I'm actually gonna, you know, call Fausto and Mark and see if we can meet up for drinks, which was like a harebrained idea in itself, because it was like, how am I gonna pull that off, you know, with just mere hours in town, basically.
We almost made it, but it was like, we were on like an hour and a half on the other side of town seeing a drag show.
And the weather was shitty along the lakefront. It was just bad.
It was snowing. It was dangerous. So, but really fast, definitely let us know and we'll set up things up and we can make a little cooking video, the three of us together. And cook some trouble.
Cook up something delicious.
Well, I want to shout out to Phil Reese, who got the word out on the website Feast of Fun about the anti-gay bill that the Illinois Republicans were trying to shove into a bill for the blind, because I guess they figured that no one was going to look at it.
No one would see it.
But the bill did not pass. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to all the people on Reddit and Facebook and Twitter and Feast of Fun who passed this information along and successfully shut it down through the efforts of Phil Reese. Applause, kids.
Applause, yeah, applause.
This is internet in action.
doing good work. Love to see that.
And another thing about internet in action is Lindsay Lohan was mistaken for Lady Gaga at the airport, and she wanted everybody to know about it.
Oh, I saw that tweet. I did see her tweet about it.
Well, who do you get mistaken for? Mark gets mistaken for Mr. Big.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
All the fucking time. And
all the time.
What do you say to them, Mark?
Well, it depends on what. I just say thank you. And, sometimes people, you know, I tell them that he's my dad, but we don't talk. And then they say, oh, what's your name? And sometimes I'll tell them it's John, because that was his name in Sex and the City. They find that out at the end. And they're like, oh, my God. Because I used to work at a bar where like 80% of our clientele were women. And so they just ate that shit up.
And they're like, I might be able to have sex with Mr. Big.
But it's literally been going on for 20 years that I've been getting this.
It's because you guys look exactly like each other.
You know, ever since I was on Law & Order in the early 90s. 20 years now.
Oh, there you go.
What can you do?
That's so funny. And now that Chris Knopf has his nude tush photo that
I know.
When he was in that kilt on a fashion show runway recently and he mooned the audience. Have you seen this?
I have. And then his balls are hanging down, too.
Right. So we got some low hangers there.
They weren't like old man low hangers. I was talking to him about it with somebody. I said, well, maybe he rubbed a little ice cube on them so that they, you know, look nice and full, but they're not like dangling to his knees.
I want them to lift, but I don't want them to look like they're levitating.
Right. There you go. Yeah. Just give them an ice cube. Hand them an ice cube and,
Well, who do you like? Does everyone ever go up to you and they're just like, it's Courtney Cox.
to Damiana?
Yeah, because it usually like I would figure that a lot of these press lines, everyone's kind of like misunderstanding and misrepresenting themselves. So they're always like, oh, she's with E! Entertainment Television.
That's so funny. You know who I've actually been told I look like, or that Damiana looks like, is Ashley Tisdale. I've gotten a lot of Ashley Tisdale.
Okay.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you.
It's a pleasure.
So much fun. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. And people can follow you on YouTube, right?
That's right. You can, Damiana's videos are at youtube.com/dailyfreakshow. Daily Freak Show is probably the best place to find those. And then my Pretty Things comedy show is Pretty Things with the three S's.
And where's that also on YouTube as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's youtube.com/prettything.
Those are like separate accounts, right?
Those are my two separate accounts.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye, guys.
Michael Lucid lives in Los Angeles, California. And of course, you can check all his stuff out on YouTube or also on feastoffun.com. Just go to feastoffun.com/author/Damiana Garcia. The accent is not in the URL.
Wow, she's a real delight.
What a fabulous woman. She's so excited.
I want to put her and Larry in the same room, Larry LaFontaine, and see if either of them explodes.
It would be a reaction of thermonuclear proportions. And put a little acai vodka in there.
I want to remind the listeners, too, that we can't do the show without your support. So please visit feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution to our ongoing website development costs.
Your financial contributions matter the most. Consider taking your tax return and donating a portion of it to Feast of Fun. Those of you who are actually getting a tax return this year, We really count on your support to bring out this unique, special, one-of-a-kind programming that no one else is going to do. If we don't do it, who will? Feast of Fun. We're going to leave you here with a song, Cruising, by Hunks with an X and his punks, also with an X, available on our website, feastoffun.com, from the album Too Young to Be in Love. I am Fausto Fednos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody. Bye.